First Thessalonians chapter 1 and we'll read the first chapter as our scripture reading this morning. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Following the reading of scripture, we will sing the Gloria Patri. Let us please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Amen. As we get into the letter this morning, we're only going to look at one verse, the first verse, which is Paul's greeting to the Thessalonians. And even as you look at it, you might think, well, this is a little bit of a waste of time, isn't it, to just look at this greeting, kind of irrelevant. All he's saying is, hello, dear so-and-so. We don't write letters very often anymore. We usually, I forgot to ask our teaching moms or our teachers, do they even teach letter writing in school anymore? I remember in the dark ages, we were taught how to write a letter. That was part of English class, and you would write dear and have the name. And of course, the formal letter, dear, are they really dear to you? Well, no, they're not. I mean, that's just the name. You end it with sincerely. Well, have you been sincere? Well, maybe. I don't know. You write these formal parts to the letter. They're part of doing a proper letter. Nowadays, with texting and emails, it's so much has become informal. We have emoticons and text LOL. That would be a fun thing. Think of all the things that could stand for. I think it stands for laugh out loud. Lots of love. Lots of lard. You know, and you could go on with that for a long time. And I've just lost you for the rest of the sermon, I know. But no matter what we do with our letter writing or our notes or greetings or whatever, and Paul was following some of the conventions of his day in terms of letter writings. His greetings are significant. Just as we might transform a letter, you might write to a Christian friend, greetings in the name of the Lord instead of dear friend. And that would be significant. You might end your letter instead of sincerely, the Lord be with you, signed, and so you signed your name. Even how we might transform a typical form of a letter. Paul here is transforming a communication, what is a standard letter, but there's significance in it. The typical pattern for ancient letter writing, not all that different from our own letter writing, was that it included at the beginning a sender, a recipient, a greeting. The body, maybe some thanksgiving, the body of the letter. It ended with wishes for health. Paul transformed these things in the greeting and who the recipients were, especially at the end with a benediction. And I want us to look at the three main parts of this first verse, the greeting, the greeting the recipients and the senders in that order. It's kind of the reverse order. We get senders first, then recipients, then the greeting. But I want to take them in reverse order this morning. His greeting to them is grace and peace. There you see it in the latter part, grace and peace to you. And these aren't mere words, but they actually give us two of the most significant things that must be true of a Christian. It's not only his wish for them, his pronouncement maybe that they that these are things are true of them, but these are two of the most significant things that need to be true in your life, that you have grace and you have peace. What is grace? Our typical shorthand definition is it's God's unmerited favor, but that doesn't go far enough. It's not just unmerited favor, but it's unmerited favor to those who merit to the exact opposite. It's not just that God was giving you something kindly that you didn't deserve, but he's giving you something that when you deserve the exact opposite. You not only did not deserve favor, you deserved wrath and judgment. And God and grace is the gift of God. It's not something you can earn, it's something you deserve. It's something he gives by his grace. And grace accomplishes a couple things in your life. One is grace put you in a right standing with God. You and I need grace. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 that we, by nature, we're like the rest, objects of wrath. If you've never seen yourself as an object of wrath, then you're missing something. You're missing an important point. We were under God's wrath and judgment by nature. And we were, as children of Adam and Eve, we were rebellious, disobedient children. And what grace does, grace moves us from a place of disfavor to a place of favor on the basis of what Christ has done. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And the reason he can give you this gift is because someone else took your disfavor on himself, Jesus Christ. We're justified through faith, and then because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through him we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. It's all because of Christ. Grace is the gift where God transforms you from one of disfavor to one of favor. And it's not just grace that saves you. You need grace. You're not a Christian without it. But you need grace the rest of your life. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm okay. Everything's okay. No, you're not. You need grace every single day. Every single moment of your life, you stand or fall by grace. Without grace, you fall. With grace, you stand. Paul says, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. I'm not anything in myself. It's all of grace. It's nice to receive a compliment. You did this well, you did that good, and I want you to encourage one another. But ultimately, our response to any compliment, any praise, is to say, it's all grace. It's not me. I was the physical person doing it, but it's not me. It's God. All glory goes to him. It's grace. Grace and peace. The second word of his greeting was grace and peace. And peace, even though he's writing in Greek, and certainly the word shalom is very much as a Hebrew behind him, behind this word in his own thoughts. And the idea of peace is not the absence of conflict. It's not the absence of war. It's not even peace of mind that he's talking about here. But the peace that he has in mind here is the peace of a completely transformed well-being in your whole life. It's a transformation of who you are. It's a wholeness from within and without. And the peace that Paul wants for them to have, that he says that he has, is built on the fact that God has ended his warfare against us. In and of ourselves, we don't have peace. We can't have peace. Sin makes a mess of everything. If your life has messes in it, which it does, it's because of sin. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 57. Has a very gripping statement of those who do not know the Lord. It's a powerful image. In Isaiah chapter 57, in verses 20 and 21. It says, the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. What a powerful image of the life without God. It's like if you watch the Weather Channel or the TV when there's a storm and there's flooding and the water's churning and it's just stirring up everything. That's what your life is like without God in it. Everything's in turmoil. Everything's churned up. There's no way for you to have peace. Peaceful circumstances won't bring you peace because there's no peace within. There's no peace as a part of your life. And we keep the cap on things. I mean, if you're decent people, you don't fly off the handle at every little thing. We do a pretty good job keeping the lid on things, but without the peace of God from within, once those peaceful circumstances are gone, we are out of control. We've lost it. Paul says he presents peace in its... what he wants for us, this wholeness, is in contrast, again, not to the absence of conflict, because you can have peace in conflict. It's not the peace of mind, because you can still be disturbed about things and still have a wholeness, a sense of peace, a sense of restoration within, because the peace is from God, because it overcomes the problem of our sin. Well, the greeting is grace and peace to you. And that grace and peace comes from the God and Father. Most of the greetings that Paul writes usually includes the phrase. In fact, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians 1. You have an almost identical beginning. It says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a whole textual debate we could get into. Why isn't it here in 1 Thessalonians? Why some of your Bibles, if you have the King James or New King James, it has it there. Most of the rest do not. And he uses that phrase, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in basically every other letter that he writes. And so what isn't explicit here is certainly implied, because he brings it up in the description of who this letter is written to. It says, the letter is written to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace and peace is not something you create. It's something that you receive from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was implicit in the greeting is explicit in who's he writing to. He's writing to this church, this gathering of people in this town called Thessalonica, who are the church in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is the gathering of God's people, those called out and separated unto God. It's the group of people that gather not only for worship, but that are their relationships are transformed, tied together in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The source of our strength and the source of our unity isn't that we all agree on everything. That's impossible anyway. We're going to disagree. But the source of our strength, the source of our unity is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Him. We're bound together. We're bonded together in Him. That's who we are. This is a statement of our identity. Yes, you're an individual and a part of this group, but our identity is tied to the work of God in us, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel transforms your relationships. Now God is your Father. That was unknown in the past. God is your Father. It transforms your relationship with God the Father. It transforms your relationship with Jesus Christ. He gives us the Lord Jesus Christ, His name and His titles. Jesus, His name. He's the Savior. The Lord. He's the one that saves you. He's the Lord. He's the sovereign one in your life. He's the Messiah, the Christ. He's the one who offered the atoning sacrifice for your sins. He's the one that mediates the relationship between you and God. You are the church in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your bond. That's what gives you strength. That's what gives you the source of your hope. It's what you are together in Christ. Alone, we wander about, we're battered about. Together, we're strong in the Lord. Do you rely and feel and are connected to your brothers and sisters in Christ? It transforms our relationships. Which brings us to the senders, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. He omits the fact that Paul's an apostle here. He doesn't have, at this point in his ministry, probably not having to defend that. But these three men have a shared concern for the church. They have a bonded relationship with them. These are men who have great concern for the growth and the benefit of the church. And Paul includes them in the church. He's writing to this group of people made up of a variety of both Jews and Gentiles because they're one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls them, he brings up Paul, Silas, and Timothy, he brings up the church, he brings up their place to remind them of what their hope and their strength is. Remember, the church of Thessalonica was born out of trouble. It was born out of persecution. In Acts 17, we're told that story. We looked at it a couple weeks ago, that when these people had believed, all the city was in an uproar, and they came to take them and arrest them. The church was born out of persecution. Thankfully, we have a measure of peace. I'm grateful that I don't really anticipate the police coming in here any minute to haul us all off to jail. But there are some parts of the world where that's true. But what was true for the Thessalonians is true for you and I. Though we weren't born in adversity, we have the same source of strength and hope together as one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's greeting to them, to you, is that you would have grace and peace, that the gospel transformation would take place in your life. But then building on that, that you would become an instrument of that grace and peace to one another. Do you bear that grace to one another? Do you nurture that peace with one another? We need grace. We need peace. You and I are to be instruments of that and be representatives of that with one another, so that together we might be built as that one body in Christ to the glory of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And may that be true. May you experience that grace and peace, and may you be instruments of that grace and peace. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for the truth of your word. We thank you that in Christ we can and do experience a true grace and true peace. And may we, O Lord, receive that blessing from you today. May you cause us to be instruments of that grace and peace to one another. That no matter what turmoil we might each face in our outward lives, that source of strength might be the bedrock on which we build. And may we be an encouragement to one another in that path of godliness that we walk in. Receive glory in our lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. After the benediction, we'll sing together the doxology, which is 731 in the hymnals. Beloved, please stand together to receive the Lord's benediction. Receive now his blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.